asking that we get our Bibles as we go to the Word of God, and we're going today to the book of Titus. Titus, the third chapter. Titus chapter 3. Again, we thank God for you, and when the Word of God comes, it's treasured in your heart. God sends His Word to help us. And if we receive it, we'll be blessed of the Lord. Titus, third chapter, reading beginning at verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank God for reading of those verses. And today God has placed in my heart to preach on this subject, God's love and mercy. God's love and mercy. As we go back to verse 4, the scripture says that, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. God's kindness, God's love, the love of God. We know that love is an action word. And as we read the Bible and we see in the Word of God, when it's talking about God, we see that God is doing something. He's showing forth something. He's there. He's putting that action into play. So we find out here, it says that the love of God and the kindness and the love of God. Let's back up to verse 3. We want to look at the way we were. Those of us who are saved, the way we used to be. Those who are not saved, the way you are now. But thank God, God is a God of love. As we look at the third verse, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Oh, saints, we were in a bad shape. When we look at, and as we see what that third verse says, we can remember and reflect of our lives when we were sinners, and we can see the scripture hit the nail right on the head, because that's the way we were. That's the way we lived. We were envious of folks. We hated people. We said, you're not going to get away with that. It's all right. I'm going to settle the score. All these things. And then we were foolish in our actions. Yeah. And so, you know, I think about many times people make promises to God. And then when God delivers them after they made their promise, then they forget all about it. But I want you to know, any promise you make to God, He's not going to release you of it. Amen. He's going to hold you accountable. So as we look at that verse 3, we can see that we were in a pitiful state. Because everything in that verse, those things were not good. Those things were not righteous. That is not the way God wanted us to live. And we know that if you hate your brother, you're not going to heaven. Amen. And so we were walking on dangerous ground. But thank God that God had love for us. Amen. Let's keep a marker on Titus. We're going to come back, but I want to go over to a scripture over in Romans chapter 5, Romans the 5th chapter. And I want us to look at this verse, Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were living in verse 3 over in Titus, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 8 lets us know that God commended us, commended his love toward us. You mean in our pitiful state, unrighteous state, he said God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You mean he died for his enemies? That's what the scripture said. Amen. God showed his love to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then look at verse 9. It said, "Much more then, being now justified, made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Amen. Thank God for his love. Thank God that God made a way for us not to have to endure the wrath of God. And we know the wrath of God is going to be terrible. It's going to be a place of punishment. And we're going to be punished forever and ever. But I thank God that God loved us, even when we were yet sinners, that God made a way for us so that we would not have to face the wrath of God. Oh, I say thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the love that God had for us. You know, it's not God's will that any should perish. God wants us to come out of darkness, come out of sin, turn our backs on serving the devil, and come and serve the true and living God. It's not his will for us to perish. That's why he sent Jesus here. Jesus came to help us. Jesus came to be the door, the way out of sin. And I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God for the love that God has for us. That's action. That's action. God loved us when we were not lovable. But I thank God. Let's go back to Titus, the third chapter. I want to pick up that fifth verse this time. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." All right, let's look at that, that verse 5 again. So it says that it wasn't the righteous things we thought were right, the things we thought was righteous as a sinner. Can't do righteous works for God as a sinner. So it's not by works of righteousness. And some people think that if I come to church and pay my tithe and offering and I treat people right, and I help the poor, you know, and anybody is in need, they think that that's going to get them into heaven. It will not get you into heaven. It's good that you have a mind to help people. Amen. It's good that you have a mind to want to do right. But I want you to know, you can't work your way into heaven. Amen, amen. You can work for now that Jesus come, but you can't work your way into heaven. You know, there's a religious group that believe they can work their way into heaven. They got some things that they are required to do. But when I was reading the background about them, after they did those things, it's no guarantee that they will get to heaven. Isn't that sad?
Yes, it is.
They work year in and year out doing those righteous acts, whatever they call them. And in the end, they don't know whether or not they're going to heaven. But I thank God that we serve a God who is not requiring us to work as sinners. God wants us to repent. God wants us to look to him Amen. Because you can't work your way into heaven. Salvation is a gift from God. Amen. So we find out, as we're looking at verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. God's mercy. Not the works. God's mercy. He saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God's mercy. All right, let's see what God's mercy has to do with this. Mercy of God is withholding of condemnation or punishment. The Bible lets us know that we were guilty. As Romans says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it, so the working is not going to do it. You got to, we got, if you want to be saved, you got to do it God's way. We can't come up with ideas and plans, and we can't come up with what man says that you need to do to get to heaven. We need to get in the Word and see what God has to say, because it's God's kingdom, and God has given us what he wants us to know so that we can one day hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So it says it's not the works, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Washing. You know, we think about washing, that ladies wash clothes to cleanse them. You want cleansing. So what God is going to do, he's going to cleanse us by us being born again. You know, in John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We came into this world needing to be cleansed from sin. We came into this world sinners. Every one of us in here today, and you can testify you saved, but when we came in this world, we sure weren't saved. We were sinners under the authority of the devil. We lived a life that was not pleasing to God. So God is going to, remember, salvation is a gift from God. So God is going to do the work. He's going to wash us, make us clean, cause us to be born again by regeneration, by the washing of regeneration. In other words, regeneration, it means that God is going to make us new again. He's going to cause us to be birthed again. Remember when Nicodemus had his encounter with Jesus, Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter and 7th verse that ye must be born again.
Amen.
Man is born or must be born of the water and the flesh and the spirit. The water is the flesh and the spirit. Because you know the birth, the ladies, it's a water birth. All right, so in other words, what God is saying, we come here as human beings through a mother. But yet, when we come here, if your mom's saved, your dad is saved, you're not saved.
Amen.
You come here as a sinner.
Amen.
But you need another birth.
Yes.
We need to be born again. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was saying, how can this be? I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born a sinner. No, Jesus wasn't talking about the natural. He's talking about a spiritual birth. And every one of us in here today, if you're not saved, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. And you got to come to Jesus. You got to have faith in Jesus, because he is the only one that can help us. So Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right, let's if you would, let's turn over to Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and let's see what God has to say about that. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, the 25th verse. Remember I said, now he's going to wash us, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, the 25th verse says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Look what God says. Salvation is God's work. And we need to be cleansed from sin. Let's never forget that. We were born in sin. And God is the only one that can cleanse us from sin. We can't cleanse ourselves. Wash it. Soap and water not going to do it. You got to come to God. So he says he's going to sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. All the things that we were doing as son of man, boy, girl, God is going to cleanse us from those. Amen. Those who were worshiping idol gods. And you know, there was a time when people had their angels, and they put their little angels in a special place, and they pray to their angel, and they bow. That angel is man-made. That's an idol. Amen. That's an idol. God wants us to pray to him, the true and living God. And little things that people had and that folks who told them. But God says all those old, the witchcraft and all those old idols you had and all those old ways you thought that you could get into heaven by doing those. And no, God said he's going to cleanse you. He's going to take all those things away from you. He's going to do the work. Thank God that he does the work, because all of us know when we were sinners, there were certain things we enjoyed. And if we could have held on to those and yet served God, we probably would have. God didn't leave it to us. God knew what he wanted us to be, and God made us in his image. And God cleansed us from all those sinful things, all the unrighteous things, all the evil that was in us. God says he would cleanse you. All right, then, look what he does after God cleanses us. Verse 26, he says, a new heart also will I give you. Well, we needed a new heart because evil comes from the heart. Amen. It comes from the heart. So that heart that we were born with, that's in a man, that soul, whatever, it's not the pumping heart that's pumping the blood through the body. Amen. He said, new heart will I give you. And then he says, a new spirit will I put within you. The spirit that you had was in us was the wrong one. All right. It's not the one that was pleasing to God. Amen. So, see, look what, again, it's proven to us that God is the author of salvation. And it's his work. He's going to cleanse us from all the evil. He's going to give us a new heart. Then he's going to give us a new spirit will he put within us. And we know what that spirit is. It's his spirit. God's going to gift us with the Holy Ghost. But he won't give us the Holy Ghost until he cleanses us and prepares us a vessel that will be able to receive the Holy Ghost. So a new spirit will I put within you. And he said, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. He's going to give us a heart, a mind that will be receptive to the word of God. Amen. Now, we know that there are some people, they don't want to hear about God's word. Amen. They reject God's word when you try to give it to us. And some of us might have been the same way. But when God cleanses us and he gives us a new heart and he gives us a new spirit, and we're going to, and he's going to take the stony heart where we rejected the word of God. He's going to give us a heart that's going to be receptive to God's word. He's going to give us a heart that we will say yes to God's word. He's going to give us a heart that will cause us to be pleasing in God's sight. Salvation is a work of God, and God is doing his work on each one of us. And I thank God for you. He says he's going to take the stony heart out of us, and he will give us a heart of flesh. In verse 27, and I will put my spirit. See, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Amen. So I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Obedience is a trademark of people who love God. Amen. Obedience is a trademark. It's an identifying factor. Because God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when God saves us, we want to keep his commandments. Because he has given us a new spirit. We want to walk in his way. We want to be pleasing to God. We want to hear the word of God so that we will know what God is requiring of us and we will know how to live. Because we have to let our light shine as we're in this world. We got to let the world know, not by all our running our mouths, but it's out the way we live. The life I live. See, there are a lot of folks who can talk circles around you, but they don't live it. God wants us to live it. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. And he wants us to be a light that's in a dark world. He wants us to stand up for righteousness. When everybody else is going the wrong way, he's going to give us the courage to stand on his word. It'll help us to be obedient. And then the word of God will show us that in his word that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Amen. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. Amen. And he's going to help me to do. He's going to help me to be a bold soldier. He's going to help me to stand up when they're opposing me, when nobody agrees with me. We're not going to deviate. Amen. Remember last week, God said, bro told us, I won't be moved. We're going to stand rooted and grounded on the word of God. And they people come with all these false teachers and false doctrine. But if it's going contrary to the word of God, we are not going to receive it. We'll hear it, but we won't receive it. We're going to stand on God's word because God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word is forever. Thank God for the word. There's power in the word of God. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for what God, the love that God had for us. Thank God for his mercy. So he's going to prepare us so that we can live in this evil world a changed person. You won't be the same person that you were born. He's going to make you a new creature. And that new creature will say yes to God's word. That new creature will live a life according to what God says. That new creature will have boldness to stand up and get against opposition. That new creature will help us to know that even when we're tempted and tried, that we were able to take some things that the devil brought against us, and we didn't know we could do it when we was a sinner, but when God saved us, we can stand on the word of God. We find out that God will help us. God said he will strengthen us. God said he will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Thank God. I thank God that God keeps us. Aren't you glad God keeps you and me? The devil has more power than we have when we're sinners. But when we become children of God, Christ lives in us. Amen. And God gives us a commandment. He says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. In other words, you don't have to jump when the devil says jump anymore. You don't lie when the devil tells you to lie anymore. We speak the truth. Thank God. The Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Neighbor, do you wrong, but you don't try to get even with him. Amen. You pray for him. Yeah. See, that's what that new heart and the new spirit calls you to do. Yeah. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who talk about you behind your back. Yeah. Pray for those who lie on you and the lie get back to you. You're not going to go running and try to make the record straight. You're going to say, Lord, help them. Yeah. Lord, strengthen me. And help me to show love. Can I get an amen? Amen? If Christ is in you, you have love. Yes. Because God is love. Yes. And if there's love in me, I can show love. Yes. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God I'm not dependent on me. Because if we were dependent on ourselves, we would fail. But we have, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God that God lives on the inside. Oh, and he made us a new creature. Anybody who's a child of God, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse, reminds us that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God makes us over. He makes us in his image. Amen. You're a new creature. All things, that old sinful life, the sinful way you live. Amen. The old you who was a sinner, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God makes us a new creature. You look in the mirror, you look the same, but if you could see on the inside, you see a different person. But I tell you what, you don't have to get a look on the inside. You examine yourself and see how you're living and compare that with the Word of God. And the Word of God will confirm whether or not you're in his family or not. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because when you're in God's family, the things you used to do, you don't do that anymore. Amen. The evil way you used to be, you're not evil anymore. Thank God. Thank God that there's a change. And we're glad for the change. I'm glad that God saved us. I'm glad that we've been born again. I'm glad that we're under the authority of God. I'm glad to know that God loved me so much that he made a way for us. New creature. Can't be a child of God and still be drinking your liquor. Can't be a child of God and still playing the lottery. And somebody tell you that if you don't play it, you can't win. See, if you're not in it, you can't win it. Tell you, let me tell you something. You already won it. If Christ is in your life, our Father is rich. This cattle upon a thousand hills belong to him. The gold and the silver belongs to him. And because we are God's children, he's promised us in his word that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. God knows what we need, and he supplies our every need. Thank God for Jesus. Some folks who won the lottery, their life became miserable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
They thought they were going to live a good life, but it became miserable. Amen. I thank God that we can have a happy life in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we can call on him and ask God to help us, and he helps us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we don't have to hire a bodyguard. God is our protection. Amen. The Lord can cause the enemy to turn the other way. God can cause the plans of the enemy that he was coming against his people. He can cause it to be on their head. Can I get an amen? Oh, saints, we are blessed above measure. And the Bible reminds us, what should a profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Thank God that our soul is secure. We're in God's hands. Nobody can take us out of his hands. We're secure with the Lord, and he's going to keep us. We don't keep ourselves. God keeps us. Jesus said we're in the Father's hand, and the Father is greater than all. Amen. The devil and his angels and whatever, they can't defeat God. They have to do what God commands, and God is going to protect us as his children. Oh, so we find out that God has a great love and God is merciful. Merciful of God. The mercy of God is when we deserve punishment and he doesn't punish us. We were worthy of punishment. Remember the scripture said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So, but look what God did. God made a way that he could extend his hands of mercy. God withheld the just condemnation that was against us. But God, in his righteousness, He yet made a way for our sins to be paid. Amen. The debt of sin had to be paid. Amen. Because if it had not, then God would have not been righteous as he is. Amen. But because he is righteous, he made a way for our sins to be paid for. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Isn't that love?
Amen.
Isn't that mercy?
Amen.
We couldn't pay our debt. What God required, we would have yet died and have to go to the lake. But I thank God that God is a merciful God. And because God is merciful, he made a way for us. And because God is merciful, God is love. He is love, and he is a God of mercy. Over in Psalm, I want to read a passage in Psalm to show you the mercy of God. Psalm 103. Listen to this passage. Start at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Listen to verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if he had, we'd be eternally lost. But look at verse 11. It says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God is a gracious, merciful God. And I thank God that he didn't punish us because of the sins that we were committed.
Amen.
Oh, saints, I thank God. Again, we were due to be punished. Because in Romans 3:23, it let us know that as sinners, we deserve punishment.
Oh, yeah.
But I thank God that he's a God of love and he's a God of mercy. In John 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died so we would not perish. Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. Jesus is the life giver. Since God loves us and he's merciful, he sent his son to pay our debt. Thank God. Thank God that he is a merciful God. Bear with me. Let's go out to Matthew, the 27th verse. I want us to just look at some of what Jesus had to go through on our behalf. And it should have been us. Matthew, the 27th chapter. And I'm reading verse 26. It says, we know that Jesus had been taken to judgment hall and tried, but then a Pilate could find no fault in him. Amen. But then the 26th verse says, then released he Barabbas unto them. Barabbas was a known criminal. And they were supposed to release the custom, a person during that time. And they wanted a murderer, a criminal over Jesus. Jesus who had done no wrong.
Amen.
Jesus who had raised the dead and he had healed the lepers and he had opened the blind eyes and the lady who had faith just touched the hem of his garment and virtue went out. The man who came and needed Jesus to come to his servant needed help and Jesus told the man, said, "You don't, Jesus, I'll come. You don't have to come." He said, "I'm a man of authority. I tell my servant to go, they go. Tell them to do this, they do this. Just speak the word. Just speak the word." And Jesus spoke the word. "So be it done unto you." And the lo and behold, that servant was delivered. So Jesus was doing good. And yet they cried out, "Give us Barabbas." What you want to do with Jesus? Crucify him? Why, what sin have you done? Crucify him. Let his blood be on our children. Oh, thank God for Jesus. That Jesus endured it. All right. So we find out, 26, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. All right? Scourged. That means they whipped him. And during that time, what they would do, they didn't whip your clothes. Amen. Took the clothes off you.
Yeah.
And they whipped skin. Yeah. And they had a whip, and they had barbs on the end of it. Leather, and had something to inflict. And then they would whip them, their bare skin. And that's what they did to Jesus. He found no fault in him, but he scourged him. He had him whipped. And during that time, they would give them 39 lashes. 39. And you can imagine somebody who doesn't like you whipping you. They're going to hit you with all their might they could. Amen. So Jesus endured a whipping. Why? Because of his sin? No. It was me. It was you. We were the guilty ones, but Jesus endured it. He came to make a way for us to be delivered from sin. Then look at, after they whipped him, he delivered him to be crucified. And that wasn't all. Then look, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. So now they're going to have some fun. You know, that's the way the bully is. Amen. He want to have some fun at people who are at their mercy. All right, then look at verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Scarlet robe representing royalty. And verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Well, you know, if you have a round roses and you are not careful, that thorn will put, it will draw blood and it does it pain.
Oh, yeah.
They made a crown, and you know they didn't just gently place it on his head. I would imagine they crammed it on his head.
Yeah.
Amen, because they intended to inflict pain on our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
A crown of thorn, and then they put it upon his head. Then a reed in his right hand that represented his scepter, his authority. So they took a reed and put it in his right hand. Oh, they're having a good time. And then they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. So they were ridiculing. They were mocking Jesus. They were making fun of Jesus. And he took it all.
Amen.
He had a mission. God sent Jesus to this world to die for our sins.
Amen.
You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, not my will, but thine be done. And all right, and we find out that they, as they ridiculed him, hail, King of the Jews, in verse 30, and then I'm going to stop. He said, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Oh, all that because of my sin and your sin. All that Jesus went through, it was because God had a plan. And that plan was for us to be delivered from sin. God had a plan. Amen. But that debt had to be paid. Amen. Without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And without you dying, your sins could not be forgiven. And we see we couldn't die on our behalf because we didn't have the authority like Jesus. He could give up his life, and on the third day, he picked it up again. Jesus paid our debt, saints. All of us who are saved, we ought to be mighty grateful every time I think about it. We ought to think about what Jesus had to go through. We ought to think about how they treated him. We ought to think about how Jesus didn't say a mumbling word, but he endured it because God sent him here to deliver us. God sent him here to bring us out of bondage from under the authority of the devil. God sent him here so that we could be adopted into God's family. And every time we think about being saved, we ought to raise our hands and say, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for Jesus. Oh, it's all because of Jesus that we are saved today. He paid my debt. Saints, Jesus paid your debt. And we are here today, can lift up holy hands because he paid the debt. The Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. John saw him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. Let's think about that for just a moment. Remember over in Exodus when God was delivering his people from bondage, God required that they would kill a lamb. And then he would take the blood and put it on the side post and over the lintel of the door. And that was God's commission to them on what to do. Because God was getting ready to come through that place and destroy all the firstborn. Yes. But if you did what God said and you were covered by the blood, that death angel passed away. Yes. Oh, now let's go to Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, yes. He gave his life so that we could live. Yes. And he shed his blood. Amen. And we are covered with the blood. Yeah. And where God sees the blood applies to us, yeah. Death has no authority over us. Thank God for Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took away, he takes away the sin of the world. Yeah. And he has made it so that we don't have to worry about dying. Yeah. He has given to us eternal life. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. Yeah. And he said that he would give them eternal life. Thank God for eternal life. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Thank God he shed his blood for me and he shed his blood for you. That's the mercy of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Jesus laid down his life, the Lamb of God, so that God's mercy could be given to us. Instead of punishing us for our sins, God sent Jesus to take the punishment in our place. Because God is rich in mercy and for his love. As we close, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. See what thus saith the Lord to our spirits today. Ephesians 2nd chapter. Reading verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, it was a great love. To send your only son? Oh, even when we were dead in sins, we were born dead. Dead in sin, hath quickened, made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, I thank God. It says for in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God is rich in mercy. God has great love that he's made a way for us so that we could be heirs of his, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He made a way so that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He made a way so that if we are alive and Jesus come back, we'll be caught up to meet him in the midair and we will go away. And we will be forever be with the Lord because of God's love and mercy. Will everyone please stand? Everyone please stand. God bless you. Perhaps there's someone today, you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. But I hope you paid attention to see what Jesus did so that you don't have to live as a sinner anymore, and you don't surely won't have to die as a sinner. And each one of us, we need to examine ourselves and make sure we're right with God, because he's coming back for a church without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing. God has extended his love and mercy. Receive Jesus. Let him become your Savior so that you would have the assurance that when he comes back, you'll go with him. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for the love that you had for us. Even when we were your enemies, you made a way for us, Lord, by sending your only Son to pay the sin debt that we owed and we were unable to pay. We thank you that Jesus, as he faced the cross and he prays, not my will, but thine be done. And Lord, we thank you that he went to the cross. He paid our sin debt. And on the third day, he got up. And because he got up, that meant that our sin debts were paid. And because he got up, God gave him authority to forgive us of our sins. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and mercy. Father, we ask you to look on those who do not know you as a Savior. Please, Lord, speak to their spirits and their hearts and help them to cry out and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Please save me. Please save me, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to walk uprightly before you in this evil world. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless everyone here under the sound of my voice. Yes. Keep us in your will. Keep us in your way. Keep us in your word. Yes. And we will forever praise your holy name. Yes. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And amen. God is good, saints. God is good. Sister Edwards. Yes, yes. T.S. Warren. Sir. At the funeral home. It's on Main Street right there just before you get to that big cemetery out there. Yeah. I think most of them know where T.S. Warren is. It's Warden. Thank you.